an address by the Most Reverend Dom Carlos Azevedo under the auspices of the Global Platform delivered at the National Museum of Archaeology, Geronimus Monastery, Lisbon in 2011.
Solidarity in Times of Crisis lecture by Dom Carlos Azevedo. Very good evening, Mr. Director. Dr. Luis Raposo, to whom I thank for the spiritual support, I can say it this way that he has given to the social causes in which I have been involved. And therefore, also, after the invitation that was made by Dr. Fernando Contumelias, and which I quickly accepted to speak with you, about solidarity in times of crisis, which was the theme that was given to me and that I will develop with you. Then, also after 40 minutes, I think everyone is already tired, we can exchange impressions of more live, resulting from what I am going to tell you now, in this first moment. Moments of crisis can be an occasion to go to the bottom of problems and respond to a model of development, to a model of society, to a model of happy human beings, to a model of lifestyles that need to be rethought. The most profound form of solidarity is exactly that, to think, to reflect, to question the forms of thinking in force, the theories that led to disgrace and collapse. It is prudent and wise who sees reality as it is, who glimpses its profound meaning, to apprehend the essence of things that does not coincide with much information, but that consists in directing the gaze to the depth of what happens. And it is convenient to elaborate the best possible knowledge of events without being hostage to them. And whoever acts ideologically sees himself justified in his idea. Whoever acts responsibly puts his action before the responsibility of others, and before, for those who believe, the judgment of God. And this ethical rationality, of which you spoke in your introduction, appears in our days as an unprecedented historical challenge, beyond the conquest of a scientific and technical rationality. In the current situation, the moral bond with social responsibility is imposed. An individual ethics or an ethics of virtue is not enough, but a profoundly solidary responsibility emerges as an imperative. Therefore, the first proposal I make after this introduction is to be solidary with the future. Companies, the economy, are not the center of human life that justify themselves and generate themselves. To reason only within the economic framework without confronting the market economy with its negative consequences and harmful to human happiness is limiting and is disastrous. And a parenthesis. Just yesterday, in an interview, a very responsible person said that politics should be subjugated to economics. It is necessary, in fact, not to have awareness of global reality. The mercantile logic justifies itself, as the recent budget discussion well showed. If the predicted measures decrease wages and incite savings, consumption will decrease. If consumption decreases, production drops. Companies do not create employment, but rather throw more people into unemployment. And 50,000 are predicted for this year, and 50,000 for next year, of unemployment. Tax revenues drop, and the state decreases intervention in society. This is the domino effect that urgently needs to be broken with elements of another logic that cuts this apparent fanaticism or fatalism. It is important to question the sanctity of markets, as was so drastically evidenced in the crisis in which we are immersed. Otherwise, we sink. There are no magic formulas for economic progress. It depends a lot on the fact that the model opens itself to all factors of human life. It depends on the vigilance of political institutions, and it depends on the civic attitudes of all agents involved, of all citizens. People and groups have individualistic tendencies. They yield to the temptation of easy money, which becomes idolatry. The dominant appeal was to earn more to consume more. Greed became politically correct. And on the horizon was, exclusively, profit. And the ultimate end of the common good disappeared. The human being was reduced, degraded to a merely economic function. The seduction of easy money provoked a collective blindness. Life was emptied of meaning. Submerged in this subculture, there was fertile ground for all financial abuses, for dishonest speculations. Rationalizing the use of goods and opting for moderation or even austerity does not please the economy, but it is the only way to correct irresponsible consumerism before the future. And it is even irrational by generating chain production, increasingly accelerated, that will exhaust existing resources. The unregulated exploitation of Earth's resources reduces to trash what would be a source of beauty. This wasteful and consumerist development contrasts with dehumanizing misery. There is an urgent need for detoxification from artificial needs, which has been a dangerous drug for the new generations. Artificial needs, the prison to the unnecessary, ties up many lives. A cry of freedom needs to echo, starting with Christian communities. Only freedom will help to remove us from the extermination that unbridled mercantile logic provokes us. Strengthening respect for life, for human ecology, fighting for the ecosystem, is to manifest solidarity with the future. May it enter through our eyes and through our hearts and operate a mental renovation that it is not sufficient to progress only from an economic and technological point of view, because an integral and human development calls for other elements. There is an urgent need for regulatory intervention by public powers. When the political power of states is weakened and, sometimes, incapable of reacting to the dictates of globalization. United to this political definition is the more committed participation on the part of citizens seeking new forms with creativity and boldness. Churches, schools, families to face difficulties will have to commit themselves to a profound cultural renovation. By the rediscovery of fundamental values and determined in the formation of servant leaders, in the social field, in the political field, and in the economic field, an excessive fragmentation of knowledge, an adherence to fashions without critical discernment, the homogeneous leveling of lifestyles provoked a lack of wisdom, of reflection, of thought, as Benedict XVI noted in Caritas in Veritate. Volunteers are needed who are willing to consider all elements of the question, and not just economics for economics' sake. There the Pope recalled that the first capital to preserve and value is the human person in their integrity, and who is today capable of involving local communities in options in decisions that illuminate or blur the structural causes of the grave situation that we will have to go through. Who introduces gift and gratuity at the center of the economy to respond to excessive inequalities and teaches to live with frugality, content? Who launches courageously into the concrete following of the principles of social ethics, transparency, honesty, responsibility? Who moves the structures of world government to serve fraternity? Who opens themselves to innovation, guided by a profound and clear-sighted revision of the development model, and creates conditions of sustainability, serves the real economy, and promotes initiatives in needy countries? Who is available, whether to renounce self-granted privileges, sometimes obscene remunerations, accumulated reforms, or to abstain from morally unacceptable economic options, even if legally covered? I ask who? Because the resolution is in new people, with new spirit, capable of reforms or revolutions of vast scope and application. Many economists now leave us trapped by doubt, as before they left us trapped to consumption and profit. The ethical sense has to be the compass of the economy, to take us to a new direction. After this first topic, second topic, solidarity in time of crisis, is to open the doors to the other, the question of unemployment. For some years now, it has become a fundamental point of philosophical and interdisciplinary reflection, the interrelation between ethics, economy, and politics. The crisis made jump to public discussion and to the daily experience of many what was a theme of circumscribed reflection. In Levinas's perspective, no human or interhuman relation can happen outside of economy and politics. No face can be approached with empty hands and a closed house. Hospitality, the gathering of the other in an open house, is a concrete and initial fact of human welcome. It coincides with the desire of the other, with capital O, absolutely transcendent. Ethical conscience begins in the discrete experience of the family. It develops in alterity, in the indiscrete alterity of the poor, of the migrant, of the marginalized, of the prisoner, of the sick. It is possible to choose between closing oneself in selfishness and opening the doors, windows of the personal house and of the common house, of the polis. Today, the way of facing the question of work acquires essential relevance. Work as personal expression that responds to the interpolation of the other, the children, wife, community, husband. It implies ethical responsibility for the other at the same time as for oneself. Without denying this interested moment that justifies the dedication of each one to their work, work is also reinterpreted and transformed within a communicative and gratuitous conception belonging to the productive process. The economic will not be taken in its human integrality, except in its interrelation with the cultural, the social, the political, and the ethical. The dignity of work resides mainly in its humanizing character of the human being, in its aptitude to actualize that humanity, whether while transforming nature to cover human needs, whether while creatively self-realizing, or still while transcendent praxis of gratuitous communication with others, of mutual recognition among them through actions, of donation to others in the family, in society. It is important, therefore, to discover the traces of the ethical crisis to face the great drama of the absence of employment. Unemployment is a postmodern problem, caused by structural adjustments by virtue of a new relation with society, state, and market. In the context of a galloping globalization of the economy and the conquering advance of new technologies, robotization, informatics, and what comes next will free many people from many jobs. Some predict that, with the advance of the 21st century, productive work will require only 2% of the world population. Ethics opens eyes on the concrete terrain of economic options and political decisions. There is an urgent need to share work and employment. This is a form of solidarity for the future. Third topic. Solidarity through conscious and responsible leadership. What we can call social responsibility. It is senseless to dedicate oneself to ethical programs because destined to fiasco, or to embark on any ethical fanaticism that walks toward failure. The failure, entangled in the insignificant, if it does not take into account the totality of the real. Ethical questions return whenever scandalous situations burst. It is not the best moment to approach the theme, but without ethical euphorias, destined to failure, they point the way to conscious leadership, with ethics. The path of duty is the safest and most effective for conscious leadership. Leadership that follows the path of duty opts for the most certain and orders decisions from its own responsibility, which is the only way to reach evils at the center and defeat them by the boldness of free actions. Our responsibility, always limited, must encompass the whole of reality that needs to be weighed, observed, evaluated, and decided in the present hour, risking a look at the near future, reflecting on the consequences of our decisions, of our actions. This is what a conscious leader is. It is conscious and responsible leadership. Without the I next to the R, and responsible, because the other abounds. Our responsibility, always limited, must also be present in the criticism of the dominant economic theories of the 20th century in Western democracies linked to an individualistic ethics of illuminist, positivist tenor, according to which the individual predominates, their preferences and their interests. All economics is based on this principle. Thanks to globalization, one began to reflect on economic policy from the fact that the economy is not an end in itself, but the means to pursue an end. It must not wound the fundamental rights of the human person. And there, an enormous range of reflections opens. It cannot dispense with the general situation in which economic processes take place. In this way, the requirement of a social and solidary responsibility was evidenced, and it is only social responsibility of companies if it is of entrepreneurs. Because companies do not have faces, they have entrepreneurs, they have people who have to have this responsibility of leadership with a sense of the future. This solidarity before the social fractures that are appearing and that will develop, there are people who are with profound dramas. And before profound dramas, as they have already said, I come from a meeting of the Social Pastoral Council and they told cases of people who say before afflictions, I am going to kill myself. It is an option. The other is, I am going to the street and I am going to start breaking everything. Social revolt. And it is necessary to take this seriously. The diversity of values begins to appear as one of the greatest challenges for citizens of the 21st century. Evidencing contradictory positions between groups of society and the conflict of interpretation of values based on disparate culture, in life trajectories, in opinions, with confrontations of reference universes, generates segmentations in the social field. And we are putting in crisis a fundamental value that is of social cohesion. This unprecedented upheaval, patent before our eyes, has strong consequences in the elaboration of systems of meaning of life and in their mode of transmission. The mania of polls, of every kind, the barometers of everything, the surveys multiplied one upon another, place values in the category of fashion, losing their durability in opinative frenzy. Novelties, changes, evolutions. Everything is situated in the short term. Now, reducing life criteria to the immediacy of actuality is serious for values. The appreciation for values centered on the individual and autonomy increases. Each person seeks to construct themselves through close relations that safeguard their aspiration, their growth. And individualism gains the role of social position and the decline of values such as authority, moral rigor, obedience, responsibility, equality, duty, work, sacrifice for others is patent. The family remains as a value in the polls that are made, those ones, but altering the meaning, passing from institutional to relational. Today, the dimension of affinities is underlined, the relational individual, which occupies central place is friendship, affection. The new mental space in which we live, in which the primacy of values is situated in the individual and not in the pretension to a collective force, reinforces interpersonal connections, constituting the individual himself as a social referent. Therefore, the value of the nation, the value of the homeland, as it belongs to a territory, are absolutely neglected. The circle of the near ones acquires the role of effective social political security of each human being. Where before was the state and the family, today the group of affinities is placed. And populisms are growing in Europe that are extremely dangerous, which are the development of the question of the individual to the question of the little group. The paradigm of individualism marks territory in all planes. Political, the crisis of democracies, socio-economic, consumer society. In the religious, the personification of faith, the emotional, the importance of the authenticity of relations, and the operative, the crisis of institutions. Individualist hyperactivity is accelerated by what begins to be called the new VIP. And what is VIP? Vehicle, internet, and laptop. It's VIP. Vehicle, internet, and laptop. This new VIP, these technological utensils, bend to the service of individualism. Therefore, families lose communication. It has already happened, they told me this, that in a house, they are each in their room communicating by internet. It's a pragmatic, utilitarian attitude is motivated, without utopias, without causes, without commitments. And here in this context, it is important to think about the question of the spiritual, the question of the meaning of life, the question of the religious. And in this world full of uncertainty, the question of meaning is not given, neither by the state, nor by the churches, nor by the institutions, nor by science. One lives a certain uncertainty of the unconditional multiplying eclecticism, multiple belongings, anti-dogmatism, placing tolerance untouchable, It is the individual who chooses according to their criteria. Each person wants to experiment and claims a trial period before accepting any model of life meaning. They desire a certain personal appropriation to believe. One seeks the meaning of things through personal conquest. Now here it is important to make then a proposal of demanding wisdom. This is an interpellation to educators, to schools, to families, and to institutions with purposes of social pedagogy. An openness to advise, guide, witness, without judging, so that the pilgrims of the meaning of life, who are the true humans, are pilgrims of the meaning of life, have not conquered that. They are always pilgrims, beggars of the transcendent. That, for me, is the basis of the recomposition of the new world, with different origins, from searches for the transcendent. But it would not be good to finish without saying some concrete steps for solidarity, which is what people generally think when they speak of solidarity. But I wanted to go much further back and deeper, because that is where the root is. It is not involving ourselves in concrete solidarity, because there are the people, the institutions, that in the proximity of situations share their goods to go to the immediate encounter of the poorest of the poor. And it is important here to discriminate with attention and effective help, the weakest of the weak, in all this process of which we are co-responsible. It is, we cannot pretend with simple solutions to give illusion of responding to profoundly complex problems. Populisms proliferate in the terrain of crisis, as I alluded to a little while ago, and it is convenient to resist the temptation to embark on that path. Not to give up on intercultural dialogue, because some European countries are already giving up. In truth and in fraternity, even when we see violence and exclusion well present in countries of Muslim and Asian culture, as we saw even this Christmas, we cannot yield to temptation. The times of uncertainty, of insecurity, that characterize our living lead to remaining firm in the inalienable value of the dignity of each human being. And in my Christian vision, each person loved by God. It is important, therefore, to encourage and organize with more network work and with a guarantee of qualification, civic and social commitment at the service of the neighbor. The increase of social consciousness in the world is clear, and the crisis came to bring to the surface something profoundly humanizing that is opening ourselves to others. May this proposal that I have made to you be a guarantee for each one of those who came here today to spend this afternoon, that if we think, if we give hands, we are capable of reviewing, rethinking our life criteria so that our vision of the human being gives a happy path to the future. Thank you.